I thank Brother BJ for being allowing me to be here, trusting me to be here, trusting me to in his sacred desk. Tonight, there's a very good chance, okay, I'm warning you now, we got to trust in God tonight, because there's a good chance I'm going to be all over the place. I'm telling y'all, I have fought him all day at work. I fought him while I was trying to get my notes together. Fought him on the way over here. One reason why I was driving so slow. I was mad about it, and I was just thinking, Lord, I just need to calm down. We're just going to let God take control. I'm going to do my absolute best to give you everything God's given me. And I hope, and I know, I'm not even going to hope. I know that God's going to put it together for the good. We just took prayer requests, and there's been a lot of mention of different things that taking place. Lung surgeries and job situations and cancer and death and just a lot of different things that are taking place and a lot of different things that are going on. Well, tonight, I want to talk to you about Job. I want to talk to you about trials that he went through and just the word that God gave me. And the title of the message tonight is, it may not be the trial you want, but it's the trial you need. It may not be what you want to go through, but it's what God's going to have you go through. So if you will, turn with me to Job chapter number 2. Job chapter number 2, we're going to start with verse number 1. If you will stand for the reading of God's word. Again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, "For whence comest thou?" And Satan answered the Lord and said, "From going to and fro in the earth and walking up and down it." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Hast thou considered my servant Job? And there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and upright man, one that feareth God." And I ain't been able to say this word all day. I've been trying, but Esquith, does that sound right? Maybe. There you go, evil. "And still holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." And Satan answered the Lord and said, "Skin for skin, yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. But he put forth thine hand now, put forth thy hand now, and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face." And the Lord said unto Satan, "Behold, he is in thine hand, but save his life." So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a postern to scrape himself withal. And he sat down amongst the ashes. Then his wife unto him, "Dost thou still remain in thine integrity? Curse God and die." But he said unto her, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive from God at the hand? What shall we receive good at the hand of God? And shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you. I praise you, Father God, for another opportunity to come to your house. I thank you for another opportunity to just come and worship you and just speak and learn more about you, Father. Lord, I know that I stumble through words, can't read too good, and it just trips me up, but we're rebuking Satan right now in the name of Jesus out of this place. I'm asking you to fill it up with your Holy Spirit. I'm asking you, Father God, you just sweep down with your Holy Ghost, Father. Lift us all up, Father God, and just clear our hearts and our minds. I pray, Father God, that you will use me as your mouthpiece, Father God. Lord, I pray that you just come down right now, Father, and just take complete control of my lips. Lord, guard my thoughts. Father, guard my throat, Father God. I pray you walk before me, Father, and just give me all the words that you'll have me speak. I pray, Father, that you'll just take, just come down and just touch my lips, Father God, and just give me your words. I pray, Father, that you touch all of our hearts and minds and just purge this world out of it. Again, Father, we just rebuke Satan and just cast him far from this place. He has no place on God's property or around God's people. I'm asking you right now for the next few moments, Father, you just come and sit down with us, Father God, and preach to me along with everybody else here and those listening, Father God. And I pray that we just get what you'll have us get. Lord, I love you and I do thank you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. I got the opportunity, I told you about, to go on a mission trip. I got to tell you where this message come from before I really dive into it. But I got the opportunity to go on a mission trip. We go, and Saturday we go up and we start setting up scaffolds. And just, I'm just telling y'all, it's a blessing. It's just a blessing. If you get to go, you need to go, even if it's just for a day or two. But it was just a blessing. Got to stay till Monday. And Sunday, we drove my track chair off an ocean down there and messed it up. And just having a hard time Monday morning. I done got down on myself and aggravated because my track chair wasn't working. I couldn't get around up there. And I was just aggravated. And finally, it started working. God blessed me with that, and I thank him for it. But I got over close to Brother David Barnes, and I had no clue. Some of y'all may know this story better than I do, so I'm just going to hit the high spots, and y'all can ask him. He can fill in the rest, okay? But I had no clue how the brick masons for the master got started. I had no clue. And we're talking, and I asked him where Chuck come from, because I had never seen Chuck before, but he was talking to me like we had known each other our whole life, you know? So he pulls me off over to the side, and he starts giving me the story, telling me how he felt like he wasn't doing enough, and he started reaching out to God, wanting something to do, wanting to know what he needed to do, and God pressed it on him to sign up to start going on mission trips. And he said that the first one he went on, him and Brother Israel, had went to do a roof down in Louisiana, and it was only them two. And he said that he had made a deal with God. If one person decides they want to go, I'll go. And he said they had a meeting, and nobody wanted to go, and he was walking out to his car, and Israel run him down and said, hey, I'll go with you. So them two went and roofed a whole house in Louisiana by themselves. And that's what started the mission trips. And fast forward, I don't know the years, I don't know the timeline, and I know I'm not giving you a whole lot of information, but I ain't going to have a whole lot of time, so y'all just bear with me. But fast forward some years, and working on Habitat for Humanity house. David falls off a ladder, breaks both of his legs. Everybody remember this? Catching up to the times now, right? I remember it before I come to church here. I remember hearing about it. So David falls off the ladder, breaks both of his legs, but there was a meeting that was supposed to take place in Georgia. And David and BJ is supposed to go. Well, David couldn't go because he can't walk. So BJ goes and talks to David Tidwell, I believe. That's right. Okay, so he talks to David Tidwell, and David comes up with the idea that hey, we don't have the Carpenters for Christ don't have a masonry team. So we've got this guy in East Alabama, which is Chuck, and he's a masonry expert, and he's wanting to do something. And we want y'all's church to be the mason. Well, y'all know BJ. He ain't going to back down. So he said, yeah, right? And this come out of, I'm not speaking for David. This come out of his mouth. He said if he would have went, he would have said no. That's what he said. But because of, at this point, this is where it blew my mind. He starts telling me this, and it just really worked on me. Because of his trial that he's going through, because of him having two broke legs and he can't go to Georgia, because of the fact that he's unable to make it to Georgia, BJ goes down there and says yes, where David would have said no. Now, this is all the things that I put together just a few of the things that I put together that's happened because David couldn't go to Georgia. Okay? So, ultimately, David not going, brick mason for the master happened. I don't know how many churches have been helped and how much money has been saved because of those churches have been helped. Y'all have to put that together. Union Chapel has been able to go and help these churches, which has outreached Union Chapel's name, which therefore I'm sure at some point BJ's been able to go to revivals, going back and preaching, just many different things. You see what I'm saying? The branches just go on and on. Austin Laws, everybody know Austin? David's son-in-law? Son-in-law. Austin is Chuck's stepson. At 18, he said he's moving to West Alabama. He picks up and moves over here. All right? Now we got Austin. Austin marries Brittany. David's got 3 grandkids because Austin marries Brittany. Praise God. This was the point that David kind of started sniffling a little bit on me. That was funny. But all of that happened. All of that happened. But here's the one. This is the one. When we started this church, when this church was built, the prayer was that just one person was saved. Nearly every prayer I can remember while the church was being built and when the church got built, when we first got in here, almost everybody talked about if one person is saved because of this church, it's all worth it. I'm not going to say who because I don't know if they want, maybe he wants to announce, okay? But this weekend, somebody from our church, or kind of our church, somebody that went with us down there was saved. BJ texted me that Tuesday. Because of the trial that David didn't want to go through, because of the trial that God picked for him, ultimately, all these things have taken place. Lives have been changed. Churches have been made. Churches have been grown. Churches have been bricked. A soul that we know has been saved. Just this weekend. Because of a trial that he had to go through that God chose for him. But he wouldn't have chose for himself. There's no way. And I'm gonna break this down in just a minute. But there's no way. That David would have said, you know what, I'm going to jump off this ladder, break both my legs, just so all this could happen. It wouldn't have happened. Back to the scripture. At this point, I'm sorry, I want to tell you this too. The last few minutes I was there, I had been gracefully working with Austin Price all day. And I wish he was here. But I've been with Austin all day, and we had got down to what we was doing was finished. It was coming down towards the end of the day. I knew we was driving home Monday, so I was really getting ready in my mind to drive home. Tired, hot, sweaty, dirty, all that good stuff. And I eased around the corner, and I was going to talk to Jake. I'd been picking on Jake every time I seen him, and I actually got him to give me a hug, too. But I had been picking on him, and I got over there close to him, and I was easing up under there, and to be honest with you, he had a little bit of shade right there, and I was trying to get up there close to him so I could get in there on the shade and just talk to him for a second before I left. And little did I know, Sister Kim had a job for me in that spot. And she says, Brother Bradley, you want a trial? And I said, no, ma'am. No, ma'am. I was like, done been through plenty of them. I don't need another one. I was like, blessings from here on out. You know? And she said, oh, yeah, you need a trial. I said, no, ma'am. I don't. She gave me a trial and brought it to me. And they're telling me, like, they had the mud laid out on a plate there, and I was mixing it up. And anyways, it was just whatever. She gives me this trial, and I'm holding it, and I'm mixing this mud up and putting some water on it to make sure it don't get dried out. And it hit me. it hit me that as little and as crazy as it may seem, I didn't want that trial. And what I mean by trial, I'm talking about the tool, a trial. I didn't want it. I didn't want it at all. I was finished for the day. I was ready to go home. I'd been ready to go home. We was going to leave at lunch. And at 3 o'clock, she brings me that trial and hands it to me. And as I'm flipping that mud over, it hits me like, I didn't want this, but this is what God's given me. And I'm here to do a job, and I'm here because God's brought me here, because I didn't really want to go down there, if I'm being honest. And I had so many excuses as to why I didn't want to go, and so many different things of why I couldn't do this. Well, man, I got to work. And ultimately, at 3 o'clock on Monday, I didn't want to leave. I didn't want to come home Tuesday. When I got over there and I was telling the pastor that church by that he had pulled up, and I was telling everybody by, and BJ's standing there, and we was joking, and the pastor said, "You're leaving?" I said, "Yeah, somebody wants me to preach Wednesday, you know?" And of course, BJ gives me a look, and I'm like, "It's the truth." But I didn't want to leave. Not because I didn't want to drive home, because I just didn't want to leave. I enjoyed it so much, but I didn't want it. The trial God gave me, just the tool that God gave me just for a few minutes, just to flip over some mud, I didn't want it. But God worked out so much. I'm telling y'all, you have no idea. I don't think I'll ever be able to put into words how much God worked on me with this tool. Just in a few minutes of me sitting there messing with this mud. And I eased over there, and as I'm leaving, I go over, and I'm telling Brother Kevin bye, and, you know, and picking at him, whatever. And Sister Kim looks at me and says, she said something about the trial, and I said, "I didn't want it." And she said, "Well, God's going to give you a message out of that." And I hope she watches. I hope you'll text her and tell her to watch this. Her words that God's going to give me a message out of that, and I did not want this trial, but this is what God's gave me, has rang out to me so much. And where we're at in this scripture, at this point, Job has lost everything. He's lost his oxen and donkeys and all the servants that were with him. Fire fell down from heaven and killed the sheep. And this is in chapter 1. But fire fell down from heaven and killed the sheep and the servants with it. The camels were taken and the servants were killed there. His kids were killed by a great wind and the house fell in and killed them. Everything was gone. It was taken from him. Like that. Everybody here has got bad news at some point. You've got the phone call that somebody's passed away. You've got the phone call about the wreck that's happened, or this has happened, or the doctor, or the whatever it might be. Everybody here has got the bad phone call. But could you imagine getting that bad phone call and saying, "Hey, they're gone." Beep, beep. Well, hang on a minute. Somebody's beeping in. "Hey, they're gone too." Somebody's beeping in. "Hey, oh, that's gone too." Could you imagine just how people's running in and telling him this story, and it just keeps on and on to the point where Job goes and he cuts his hair and he goes back, and all these things are going wrong. And it's not the trial that he wanted, but it's what God gave him. It's not what Job would have chose, but here it is. God allowed all this happen to him. He let Satan take these things just because he knew, not because of Job knew, but because God knew that Job could handle it. God knew that you could handle what you're going through. You're where you're at. You're in what you're in. You're going through what you're going through because God knew that you could handle it. God knew you could take it. You're walking through what you're walking through. You're going, you've got all these things placed in front of you. All these trials, these tribulations, it don't matter how good your life is or how much money you have, you've got problems, big and small. And it's in front of you because God knew you could handle it. And the question is, will you remain steadfast? Will you stick with the stuff BJ's been saying? He's been saying it for weeks now. Will you stick with the stuff? Will you stick with what God's given you? Will you stick with the one that's brought you through it? Will you stay with God? Will you keep in the Bible? Will you keep praying? Will you? I asked you last Wednesday night, what are we doing? If you wasn't here, go back and what are we doing? There's so many, we have so much doubt. We see all of these miracles taking place, but we still doubt. Peter watched Jesus walking on water and said, hey man, let me come out there with you. And stepped out of the boat and still doubted him. What are we doing? And now God's pressed it on my heart. And I really hope I can break this down for you all the way to the middle, to the end of this. But God has just pressed it on my heart so much that we're going through. There's prayer requests from this side to that side and from front to back and even the ones that aren't here. And there's stuff that you didn't mention and there's stuff that you felt like you shouldn't mention. There's so many things you're going through, and it's where God has placed you. You may not understand it, but it's where God's placed you. And not only did Job handle it and take it, but he still gave God the glory. He still stayed with God. It's normal. It's something that we all go through. It's something that I deal with and I even struggle with because I feel like I shouldn't. But if I see somebody going through something, or if I find myself in a trial, I find myself in a situation, and I start asking questions like, why? I see a friend of mine going through something, and why did they have to deal with that? Why did they have to lose a parent so young? Why did they have to go through cancer? Why did they have to have this surgery? Why? They seem like a good person. And ever since Kim said that to me, you want a trial. God has just been pushing it on me. It's not because it's what you want, but it's because it's what I want you to have. It's not because of what you need, or it's not because of what you think you need. It's because what I know you need. It's because I know that'll make you move your feet enough to get you where I need you to be, to pour out blessings on your life. But what I fail with, I'm not even going to say we, what I fail with is not stopping to think. Maybe that's God's work right there. Maybe that's God just really pressing down on this. Maybe that right there is God doing something. Job. Now, I know there's a lot of excellent people in this room. Okay? Job was a perfect and upright man in God's eyes. Twice he said it. Chapter 1, chapter 2. I think he may have said it after that too. But I know he said it twice in those two chapters. A perfect and upright man. And yet God still put or allowed Satan just to destroy it. Everything that he had. And as perfect as he was, do you think as perfect as Job was, do you think that he would have chosen to go through what he went through? As upright as he was and as close to God as he was, would he have chosen that trial? Because I really don't feel like, Job would have went down to Walmart and been like, yeah, that one's mine right there. Let me have that. I'll just go on and take it to the house and open it up. I mean, it was like he was playing Jumanji. It just kept coming. And then everything he did, it just kept coming. And everything was pouring out on him. But it wasn't what he wanted. It's what God knew he needed. I can't remember where this come from. Y'all may have heard it before. It might have came from BJ. I'm not sure. But there was a story of a man that was carrying his cross. He's carrying his cross and he goes to God and he says, man, this cross sure is getting heavy. You reckon I can just get me another? Well, sure. Right on through there. Step through that door. Right there is the cross room. You just go in there and pick you one out. Whichever one you want. And he goes in and there's crosses in there of all shapes and sizes. Some big, huge crosses. But off over there to the side, there was this little old bitty cross propped up in the corner. Just this little old bitty cross. He sized it up and he looked at it and he said, you know what? I think I'll have that right over there. And Jesus said, well, are you sure? You sure that's the one you want? He said, well, yeah, that's the one. I'll take that. He said, all these other ones are way bigger than that. Well, that's the one you just put down. That's the one I've already gave you. So you didn't want this big tall cross. You didn't want this one. You didn't want that one. You didn't want the ones with the splinters hanging out of it. That's the one I already had for you. God said, I already know what you need. Why do you keep questioning it? Just lean on me and let me guide you through it. Let me help you through there. I could not imagine how Job felt. I really couldn't imagine how he felt having everything stripped away from him. Everything that he knew was just gone. And then as soon as that happened, to top it all off, his wife come in there and said, just give up. Just give up. Just stop. Ain't no sense in you being here anymore. Just stop. And wives, I'm telling you this, this ain't even really part of the service, but I just feel like it's been on my heart. Wives, if you're not a helpmate to your husband, then you're not being the woman of God that God has called you to be. And husbands, if you're not a man, if you're not the man that, Genesis 2, by the way, 2:18, I believe, 2:18 is where it says wives are supposed to be a helpmate. But husbands, Ephesians 5 says, love your wife as Christ loves the church. He laid down his life for the church. If you're not being that man for your wife, then you're not being the man that God's called you to be. Not being the husband that God's called you to be. And if one of you aren't doing the other, then y'all are probably at odds. But that's just my opinion, that's just a side thought there. We'll go off on that later. But he went through all this stuff, and then all of a sudden, the person that he probably felt the closest to, the person that he leant on, probably right after God, the person he leaned on and trusted the most, folded up on him. Now, I don't know about y'all, but I've had friends roll up on me before. Y'all ever been told on? Ever got thrown under the bus? Ever had somebody roll on you? You know what I mean? Police knocking on your door. You know what I'm saying? Maybe just me. Yeah. Been there. You know what I'm saying? Wasn't a pleasant conversation with my daddy. I don't think my mama knew about that one. I just told her myself, and I realized that. That's true. But I'm just saying, have you ever been there where somebody that you trusted, that you felt like was the one? Like you knew, if I tell them this, if I go through this with them, they are going to be with me. And then they fold up on me. It hurts. I mean, it don't matter how big of a man or how much of a woman you are or whatever. It hurts to be lied to and double-crossed. And that's what's happened. This man has lost it all, and now the person, his helpmate, has just been just folded up on him. Job went through all that. And he didn't realize that I don't know the time frame. I meant to look it up, and I didn't. But Job don't realize that some 42 chapters later, in verse number 10, and the Lord turned the captivity of Job when he prayed for his friends also, Lord gave Job twice as much as he had before. Then came there unto him all his brethren and all his sisters and all they that had been of his acquaintance before and did eat bread with him in his house. And they bemoaned him and comforted him over all the evil that the Lord had brought upon him. Every man also gave him a piece of money for everyone an earning of gold. It goes on to say in verse number 12, so the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. He blessed the latter end more than the beginning. After all the trials and all the tribulation he went through, he blessed him that much more. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 oxen, 6,000 camel, and 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she asses. He had also 7 sons and 3 daughters, and he called the I'm not good with names, but I'm going to skip on down and just say, and the land, and in all the land were no women found so fair as the daughters of Job. His daughters were the most beautiful of all. And their father gave them inheritance among the brethren. After this, Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. I started all this to tell you that July 17th of 2011, I got saved. Knelt down in a mud hole, and I thank God for it. But just a few short months later, December 23rd of 2011 is when I had my wreck. And there's not one little ounce of me that would have ever, ever, ever chose the trial that I went through. Not even the least little bit. But going through what I went through, the trial that God gave me over what I thought I needed. God gave me what I needed over what I thought I needed or wanted. Brought me to where I'm at today. A beautiful wife, 2 awesome kids, a church family. Brought me to where I'm at today. Wheelchair or not, God has blessed me far more than I ever could have imagined. It continues to bless me. And no, not every day is a good day. I had a bad one today. All the way up to the point of just coming right here. had a bad one today. Fought with it mentally, spiritually. I couldn't write notes. I don't even know if I went off my notes. I don't know. But all of that brought us to right here. I don't know if anybody's ever been saved off my testimony. I'm not real sure. I know I've seen an altar full of folks off God's testimony. Nothing to do with me, not a single thing to do with me, but all to do with God. I've seen an altar full of folks watching God work through them. But none of that would have ever happened if God hadn't have put me where He put me. When He put me there, I wouldn't have the story to tell, the testimony to give, if I hadn't hit the guardrail that night. I had every intention tonight of giving my testimony. Every intention of it. And I hope and pray that you get as much out of this message as God's given to me. And I hope and pray that this is exactly what everybody here needed. I hope my prayer to you is, if you didn't come in here prayed up looking for something, my prayer is that you found something when you got here. But what I'm telling you is that I had, think about it, I'm preaching on the day that I was born again. I'm in the pulpit on the day that I was birthed. That's how I got here today. BJ texted me and said, "Hey man, you going on a mission trip?" I said, "I thought about it." He said, "I need you to preach July the 17th. I said, "Man, that's the day I was born." He said, "I'm putting you down." That's how it went. I didn't even tell him, yeah. You know what I mean? You don't get no better than being able to preach on the day you was born again. And I was going to give my testimony. But somebody here, I don't know who, but somebody here, can't just be me. Somebody here need to know that the trial that you've got is the trial God wanted you to have. And it don't matter what you think you need, it's what God wants you to have. And if you'll just remain steadfast, if you'll stay with the Word, if you'll stick with God, keep coming to church, don't stop praying, God's going to bring you through it and bless you 100 times more than what you ever thought He could have. Because that's how good our God is. So tonight, I'm challenging you. There's a good chance, there's a real good chance, that if you ain't been through nothing this week, you fist will start going through something. And I hope, my prayer is that you do. I really do. I pray that you start going through something. And when you do, as soon as it starts, you realize, this is what my God wants me to have. And this is what I'm going to go through because God wants me to go through. And I'm going to go through it with my head up, with my chin up, with my chest poked out, and I'm going to put that Bible in front of me, and I'm going to pray when I go, and I'm going to let God lead my steps, and I'm going to let God just guide your path, or guide our path. And when this trial is over, we're going to thank Him for it. Because He's going to put us right where we need to be. It's not the trial that you want. It may not be the trial that you want. But it's the trial that God has for you. Let us pray. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank You. I praise You, Father God, for another day of life, Father. I thank You, Father God, for each and every soul represented here. I thank You, Father, for this message, Lord. I thank You, Father, for just taking control of it. I thank You, Father God, for bringing me salvation in 2011. I thank You, Father, for the friends that I had knelt down beside me. I pray right now, Father God, that You'll just bless them. I'm thanking You, Father, for the mud hole that I was knelt down in. I'm thanking You for the blood of Calvary. I thank You for just applying it to my life, Father God. I thank You so much for salvation and just bringing me to where I'm at, putting me through the trials and the tribulations, putting me through what You needed me to put me through, putting roadblocks in my way and making my path what You wanted it to be. I thank You so much, Father, for everything You've brought me through. I thank You so much, Father God, the things that You're putting me through now. I thank You, Father God, for everything that You have that's brought me to this place. I thank You for my church family, Father God. I thank You, Father, for the mission trip. I'm asking You, Father, that You just bless them, Father, while they're down there. I pray, Father God, You pour out on them like never before tomorrow. I'm praying right now, Father, that they get three times the work that they thought they could have done. I pray, Father, you bless that church like never before. I pray, Father God, you lift them up. You just fill them up with your Holy Spirit, Father. Lord, I'm asking you for each and every person here and all the trials and tribulations they're going through. I'm asking you right now, Father God, that you'll just bless them, Father. Let them know, God, that you're just walking in front of them. I pray, Father, that they'll start out their day, Father, praying and asking for your direction. I pray, Father, you give them your footsteps in front of them, and that they just step in front of them, Father God, and that we can just all walk in your footsteps and your likeness and what you want us to do. Lord, I pray you just let you be seen through us, Father God, in everything that we do for the rest of this week. And I'm asking you, Father, you give us safe travels and mercy back here Sunday so we can worship you in spirit and truth. Lord God, I pray you be with all of us and everything that we encounter. And I ask you just to forgive us all where we failed you. In Jesus' name I do pray. Amen.